caught my first ever pike in early June of 1993. At the late to the game age of 26, after nursing a desire to fish for pike since my early teens. That first pike was one of many caught over a fish-filled weekend at a place on Lake Clark officially named Turner's Bay, but locally called Indian Point. It would go on to become my favorite place to fish, and still holds that distinction, though I haven't been back there since 1997. I was invited to go along that weekend by my neighbors at the time, George Alexi and Liz Beluda of Non Dalton, and hello if they're somehow listening. I was blessed to spend many a day fishing at that spot during my years in Non Dalton. Some of my trips saw me stay in a tent, while on other trips, I was able to hunker down in a smallish plywood cabin, with more than a few miles on it. I say smallish, and by that I mean that I doubt it was much more than 10 by 12 feet. Despite its small size, it had a couple of outstanding things going for it. Though old, it was still solid and dry, and could be quickly heated thanks to a small wood stove. Also, it was in a tremendous location, with moose, caribou, and pike, large pike, like stars in the night sky. Whoever put that cabin there, they knew what they were doing. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I have talked on here before about a couple of things that seem relevant now, with so many people doing so many things outside, but frankly, I think they're relevant topics at any time in the year in Alaska. It just happens that more people are outside right now, so perhaps that makes them seem a little more relevant now. Those two topics are the importance of staying dry, as a matter of safety, and the qualities of a good tent that can help you to do that. Honestly, I feel strong enough about the topic of tents that I just might revisit that topic again someday, even though I've done it before. However, for today I'd like to toss out a related topic. What if the shelter you're seeking is something you'd like to see be of a more permanent nature, and not transitory? As I've discovered over the course of a personal journey for that over the past year or so, there are actually a whole host of different options out there. Today's episode maybe won't be for everybody, but most episodes probably aren't anyway. And if there are a few of you looking or thinking about this topic, perhaps it will provide you with some food for thought. For others, perhaps it will give you something to think about for somewhere down the line. I mean, who doesn't like the idea of some place to get away to? First of all, a few beginning thoughts and disclaimers. If you're considering a more permanent type structure, that necessarily means that you have the land upon which to construct it. More permanent structures can run the whole spectrum from really small wood cabins, like that one at Indian Point, to large, almost palatial second homes, and everything in between. What you decide to do is influenced by any number of factors to include personal taste and design, available space, access to get materials to the site, cost, and possible restrictions due to any building covenants, depending on your land situation. In the case of my family, we purchased a little over 5 acres of fairly remote ground. No covenants to worry about. Access isn't bad, by truck and then by boat. I don't have a king's ransom to spend, but neither am I a pauper. I'm kind of a frugal sort anyway, so I tend to trend in that direction. I have some building experience and feel comfortable enough that I've largely designed things myself and I plan to build it myself as well. All that to say, if you're thinking of building something, your mileage may vary, as the current phrase goes. Your skills may far exceed my own, and it's possible you're dealing with factors that I haven't even considered. What I have discovered as I've tried to find what will work for me and my family is that there is actually a lot to choose from, if you're open-minded. What I have been from the get-go is open-minded. Let me share a few of the possibilities that I wound up considering. When it comes to the wilderness in Alaska, from a strictly aesthetical standpoint, it'd be tough to beat either a log cabin or a wall tent. Let me elaborate on each of those, because I considered both. A log cabin is pretty easy to picture, isn't it? It just screams living in the wilds of Alaska. I'm not skilled enough to build one from scratch, but there are a few companies that sell log cabin kits, and I looked into the possibility of going that route. A number of sizes and packages are available, and in the end for me, the cost was more than I wanted to spend. I briefly considered a wall tent, which might not sound like much of a permanent structure, but there are things you can do to make them seem more that way. I had kind of sketched out building a rock-solid wooden platform, and wooden frame, with a framed-in front and door to make it a more permanent structure. I even purchased a wall tent, a 12x14 canvas model, that I planned to use as a go-between as I decided on what I did want to build and to use while I built it. A wall tent, for those that might not be familiar with them, is a type of tent that has four straight vertical walls that provide more headroom than traditional pyramid-shaped tents. Wall tents are often made of heavy canvas, though there are synthetic blends available. They are suitable as a four-season tent, as they are able to accommodate a wood stove. Frames can be either wood or metal, and as simple or as elaborate as you'd care to make them. Wall tents have been around for centuries, and likely will be for the foreseeable future. In the end, I decided I wanted something more permanent still, though I still think this might have been a decent route to go. Related to wall tents, I considered weather ports, something like what you see many of the lodges around here use as sleeping quarters for clients. There are some very robust weather ports made that can stand up to pretty much whatever weather Mother Nature can hurl at it anywhere on Earth. I actually kind of like the look, probably because I associate them with camps that promote hunting and fishing. Really top-end weather ports aren't cheap, and in the end, I decided for the amount I'd actually spend on a weather port and foundation, I could just as easily construct something even more permanent in nature. So, that's why I passed on this option. The idea I stuck by the longest was a traditional stick frame building. I have put together one such building on my own, so I feel pretty darn confident that I could have built a decent cabin. We're talking about what many folks use on the lake systems now, wood construction with a T111 exterior and a metal roof. I'd likely have gone with the barn-style roof because I like the interior space a roof like that affords. I must have sketched out several dozen designs in the year leading up to deciding, and in the end I decided not to go that route because, well, honestly, I can't give you a good reason why I decided not to go that route. I also considered a couple of less traditional structures. One was at the recommendation of a friend of mine, Steve Ito. Steve suggested a company called Intershelter. Intershelter makes a dome house in two diameters, 14 feet and 20 feet. The company states that they are made of a high-tech aerospace composite material and are built to sustain hurricane-strength winds or earthquakes and insulated to stay warm in extreme Arctic weather or cool in hot desert climates. The big selling point of these for me as I looked into them is that they go up uber fast. A platform would first need to be built, but the structure itself would go up, according to the company, in a matter of hours. According to what I found online, these have been used literally around the globe, successfully, for research stations, quarantine shelters, and emergency relief situations. Honestly, I was fairly impressed. But the cost of the structure, plus shipping, was going to put it at the very high end of what I wanted to spend. So, I decided to go a different route. And the route I chose to go was a metal Quonset. Quonsets are relatively lightweight, half-round, prefabricated structures made of corrugated, galvanized steel or iron. Quonset huts, according to what I've read, have been around for over 75 years and got their start with the military. They became popular when soldiers needed quick and durable housing options during the war, options that could be put together with common tools and very little building experience. Also, they're named for the town of Quonset Point, Rhode Island, where the first manufacturing site for a Quonset hut was located. During World War II, roughly 170,000 Quonset huts were produced, and the surplus was sold to the public after the war at a cost of $1,000 apiece. Many were bought by universities to be used as student housing. Others were purchased by returning soldiers who thought enough of the design to want one as a home. The one that I purchased is a modified design that has some straight walls to it before you get to the curved arches. It's 20 feet long by 12 feet wide and 11 feet high. I bought it without end walls, so I can customize them and make it feel a little more homey and a little less institutional. I'm still not big on the look of metal, but I think it will grow on me as I come to use it and personalize it, after it's built anyway. Some of the reasons that pushed me in the direction of a Quonset include the fact that it should go up fairly quickly, it was inexpensive, and I believe it will be a durable option for what I plan to use it for. Was it the right choice? Well, only time will reveal that to be true, or not. Many of my friends have been heading upriver of late, preparing their camps for king season. Some use good, solid, traditional camping tents that they set up and leave for a few weeks at a time. I know of a couple that use wall tents. Still others have small cabins on land they own and never have to worry about where they'll stay when they're fishing. As I learned at Indian Point over 20 years ago, a permanent cabin can be a wonderful shelter to own and use if you've got a little patch of land to call your own. Should you decide to build, or even if you like the idea of owning land and building on it someday, keep in mind, there are a lot of different ways you can go to accomplish just that. No matter the fishing you're doing right now, subsistence, commercial, or sport, here's hoping your summer is off to a great start. Be safe out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.